Let us turn to the prophet Isaiah and read Isaiah chapter 58. And in the sermon we will, with the fourth commandment, zero in particularly on the last two verses of this chapter. But you will notice that in many ways the whole chapter goes with it. Chapter 58 of Isaiah. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear ward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And then verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Blessed are they who hear and keep God's word. Beloved congregation, we've come to the fourth commandment this morning. Next week, the Lord willing, the fifth commandment. What's remarkable about the fourth and the fifth is that they are formulated so positively. The other commandments have thou shalt not. And here we have two positively formulated commandments. We could even say that the fourth and the fifth, which are in the heart, the center of the commandments, are really the heart and the center. Not to take away from what we said about the first commandment being first, but there is something here about that these are the heart, the center of the Ten Commandments, and they are positive. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and honor thy father and thy mother. The fourth commandment brings before us the wonderful institution of the Sabbath. Where would we be without the Sabbath? God's saints throughout the centuries have loved especially this day and called it some wonderful names such as the Lord's Day or the Market Day of the Soul or the Queen and the Chief of all days. And yet today we are living in a society, in a world, surely in the Western world, in which the Sabbath is being despised and ignored. And what a restlessness there has come into our society today. People are overstimulated, overworked, overstretched, and many are overindulged. People find their minds so weary, their souls so weary, their emotions so numb or so exhausted. Is it not time that as a nation we would ask whether we have made a wrong turn somewhere? And when it comes not to our nation but to ourselves inside the church, inside the gathering of the church, must we not say, don't you find too, that the restlessness of our age is rubbing off on us? We still have a Sabbath and we observe the Sabbath, I hope. We don't go to work unless our work is a work of necessity or of mercy. We come to God's house once in the morning, once at night, but do we really enter into the rest that God holds out to us in this fourth commandment? Or have we, as Christians, as churches, also made a wrong turn somewhere? Well, this morning God's word calls us back to God. This morning the Lord calls out to us who of ourselves are weary and heavy laden, and he calls us back to himself and to his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might find rest for our souls. Let us listen this morning to his word that speaks to us of calling the Sabbath a delight. That will be our theme, calling the Sabbath a delight. From Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14, calling the Sabbath a delight. And we will consider, first of all, the design of the Sabbath. Secondly, the departure from the Sabbath. And then thirdly, the delight in the Sabbath. So, calling the Sabbath a delight, the design of the Sabbath, the departure from the Sabbath, and then the delight in the Sabbath. First of all, then, the design of the Sabbath. Notice with me something that we noticed about a year ago as well when I made a reference to it, congregation. Notice the first word of the fourth commandment, which is a word you don't find in any of the other commandments. It's the word remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You see, we sometimes think that the fourth commandment was given at Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments and other various laws. But the Sabbath was not started there in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. But the Sabbath had its origin, its institution, right on the seventh day after the 6 days of creation. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, and I quote, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." Now those words from Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3 are of crucial importance. They mean, first of all, that the Sabbath is designed for all men. The Sabbath is designed for all men. It's an obligation which the whole world has to live up to. It has a worldwide scope. Listen to the commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And then it goes on to say, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." You see, it's right from the start that God divided man's week into 6 days and one day. Or you could say, God divided time into weeks, and he gave to man a week of 7 days, and 6 days were days of work, and the seventh day was the day to rest. He blessed, he hallowed the Sabbath day. And he blessed it in Genesis 2, not with the blessings of salvation, because this was a time when man had not yet fallen into sin. But he blessed the Sabbath day for man with blessings that belong to man, having been created in the image of God. So as man of God. So the obligation is founded upon God's creation, his creation ordinance. So that, first of all, the Sabbath is designed for all men. Now, secondly, the Sabbath is designed to focus not on man, but on God. The Sabbath is designed to focus on God. God claims this seventh day here in Genesis 2 as his own day. And the contrast is clearly spelled out in the fourth commandment, is it not, in the verses 9 and 10 of Exodus 20, where the Lord says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. See the contrast between 6 days, thy work, thy labor, but the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And so Scripture, or should I say, the Holy Spirit in Scripture, very often speaks of the seventh day as God's holy day. It belongs to God and not to man. So the fourth commandment is not what many people think it says. The fourth day is not that it says what you need to do is just stop working. But the fourth commandment says that we have to cease from our work. There is work to be done on the Sabbath day, peculiarly appointed of God, and yes, for our richest blessing. But it is God's work that he appoints. It is God's day. So the work that he appoints to us on the Sabbath day is God's work. And that's why the ninth verse of Exodus 20 says, 6 days shalt thou labor. Do your work. Legitimate toils to which you and I are called, and which God has given to us, they have to be done on six days. But when those things are done on those 6 days, then on the Sabbath day, other work has to be done. Work for heaven, you might say. We have work which has everything to do with God's work. A heavenly kind of labor. That's the idea of the Sabbath. It is rest for divine and heavenly labor. It's not a day to do nothing and to sit there idly. A day of inactivity. No, it's a day for spiritual, glorious work. Did you notice that in Isaiah 58, which we read, and there in that closing section, verse 13, if you look at that, do you notice what it says there? And there the Lord is speaking, and he says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. Now these words really mean something like this, that the Lord says, if you do not trample on my day, if you don't put your feet on my day, but instead do my will on that day. You see, they were trampling God's day under their feet. They used it not for God's pleasure, but for their own pleasure. And the Lord says, doing thy pleasure on my holy day, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So spiritual labor the Lord calls for. Don't trample my day underfoot, but use my day in the way that I have set forth. So the Sabbath is to focus on God. Think of the first Sabbath in Genesis chapter 2, right after God had made the man on the sixth day. What kind of a day was that like? You just think of that for a moment. God had finished all his work of creation. And he was resting from his work of creation. And what was there then? There was the sun, there was the moon, there were the stars, there was the whole universe. There were the angels, there were the archangels, also all created. There were the cherubim, the seraphim. And on this earth there was the animal kingdom and all the rest of God's creation. The depth of the sea, the fruit trees, the shrubs, the birds, everything in perfect harmony and beauty. What a day that must have been of worship of God and resting in God. And what a delight that must have been to Adam and his wife Eve. Newly created to bask in the glory of their Creator and Sovereign, Lord and Benefactor. It's something like you read of in the Psalms, like Psalm 19, the heavens are telling. God's universe, the heavens, the earth rejoicing and glad, and the sea roaring and the fullness thereof. And the fields being joyful with all that is there, and the trees of the wood clapping their hands, remember those words, before the Lord, their Creator. That's what God designed the Sabbath day for. A day to delight oneself wholly, solely in the Lord. Focus on the worship of His name. Bask in His beauty and riches and glory and majesty. Such was the Sabbath day designed, ordained by God, ordained for all of creation, designed to focus on God. But alas, that's not all to be said about the Sabbath. In the Bible, there are only two chapters about that. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And then we see something else in Genesis chapter 3. And that's our second consideration this morning, the departure from the Sabbath. Man willfully fell into sin. And now everything that God has created, that He had designed in His creation, man by his fall into sin has sought to corrupt it. And man does it in his marriage, in his family, in his creaturely abilities. Everything that God had given to him, which had been good, and man took it and corrupted it. Also the Sabbath day, which was designed to honor God. But fallen man does not want a day to honor the God of heaven and earth. He'll use that day to dishonor God. That's the departure. Is it any wonder that today, 2008, the Sabbath day means essentially nothing to our nation, to the world, with exception here and there? Isn't that how it is? Man does everything to show he has departed from God. What does God have to do with the way I want to spend Sunday? And we can do that in various ways. First of all, we can do it departing from the Sabbath day by ignoring it and just continuing to do our thing, our work. We read of that in the Old Testament, in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. For instance, Nehemiah 13, verse 15, and I quote, "In those days saw I," that is Nehemiah, "in those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, also wine and grapes and figs." What was that? That was man in his pride, continuing to labor on the Sabbath day for his own profit, to reap up riches, to acquire goods, anything that he could do to take his mind off and his hands off the rest to which God was calling him on the Sabbath day, that God had ordained, but he focuses on himself. That's what we see around us. And I fear in this instance, congregation, that we, if we still live here, we will see days, if our Lord tarries, in which it will be more and more difficult to find a job without having to work on Sunday. Our economy is a 24/7 kind of economy, demand focused. And our economy requires just more and more. And if you are a Christian and you desire to focus on the stipulations of the Lord also for the Sabbath day, you'll notice that then whole fields of employment will be closed to you. Young people, if you refuse to work on Sundays, you'll have to be very selective in what kind of an opportunity you'll be looking for. In our Free Reformed Church denomination, each congregation, it seems, the one perhaps more than the other, finds members who have begun to work on Sunday. They worked at that place for 10 years, for 15 years. And now they have to work on Sunday. And they try to resist it to the point they can no longer resist it, they say, and they start working. And what has been happening is that some consistories are beginning to say, well, you can hardly expect him to become unemployed. I mean, he needs food on the table. We are living in a different day, they say. And it's only when you sit down with the consistory members that after a while they say, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, Liat. It's coming in more and more. We need to be aware of this. And we need to strengthen our resolve. You too, young people. You need to make a resolution that you draw a line. You say, I will not work on Sundays unless it's a necessary work or a work of mercy. But this is the day of the Lord. I will not eat the king's meat, Daniel said, and he didn't. I will stay separate. If it means I'll have a job with a lower income, I'll take that for my Lord. And if I can't have a promotion because I won't work on Sunday, I won't have a promotion. That's fine. I'll do it for my Lord. But you know, that's one side. It's not only the pressure to work on the Sabbath, but there are also the concerns and the cares of work and society. How can you have a day in which they don't infiltrate your life? I mean, we are living in a society which is so different from, what is it, 30 years ago, 40 years, I should say. Meyer store opened up about 40 years ago. Maybe even a little bit longer. But there was a day that the stores were closed. There was a day when the beaches were closed. And we can observe the Sabbath and go to church, but in the meantime, we can have our minds full of the demands of our work week. Even while we read a book, or at home, or sit in God's house, even while you say, I'm not going to answer the phone on Sunday, still it can so infiltrate your mind. That's also a way in which we have departed and are departing from the Sabbath as God designed it. So that, first of all, we can depart from it by just continuing what we do. We work. But there is another way, and there's a second way we depart from the Sabbath by seeking our own pleasures. Many Christians, so-called, don't work on the Lord's Day. It doesn't mean that they have a Sabbath as God designed it and commands it in the fourth commandment. They won't work, but they focus on their own leisure, the relaxation of body and mind, doing nothing except what is sort of entertaining for them. And it's not edifying for me to go into detail here, so I should not. But you will know the temptations of the media and the sports. Even though they are not your regular daily work, but it's a departure from the Sabbath. And congregation, let's be on our guard in this regard. Someone once said, and I quote him, the Sabbath is not the stopping of work altogether, but stopping our work. And I said it already a little while ago. It's not the stopping our work altogether, but it's stopping our work. And it is to be about God's work. 6 days shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. Spend those 6 days in your calling, your work that God has given you. But the seventh day, you and I ought to expend our energy for the Lord, for the worship of His name. The Sabbath is not for sleeping all day or lounging around all afternoon doing absolutely nothing. We are not to be seeking our own pleasure, the Lord said by the mouth of Isaiah. We ought to be using the energies for our soul, for the betterment of other people in need, and for the worship of God. So we depart from the Sabbath if we seek our own pleasure. That's secondly. And now thirdly, we depart from the Sabbath by creating all kinds of man-made rules. Because you can say, okay, then I should change a couple of things. But be careful, you can be so inventive in your rebellion against God that you say, I won't be lax now anymore. But what you do then is you rebel against God by becoming formalistic and externalistic. As the Pharisees did in the days of Jesus, for instance, they departed from the Sabbath. They would not work on the Sabbath. But they made their own rules for the Sabbath. But they still did not focus on God. They made rules such as, if you go for a walk, then don't go any further than this little distance. And on the Sabbath, you should not light a fire. Oh, but we need a fire. Well, you may not light it. Then let a Gentile fire it for you. And so on. And you will remember how from the scriptures, how the Pharisees, they were so fault-finding with Jesus for his transgression, what they called, of the Sabbath. Healing a sick man on the Sabbath day, that kind of a thing. And that's the area where we also need to be very cautious. We need to be very careful. You don't go this way and you don't go that way either. How then do we do this? Focusing on the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And let his word be your rule, your guide. And then don't watch all the others in first instance. Oh, they're doing something they should not be doing. But then speak with them in the light of what is it that the Lord is asking in his word. And be careful for your pride, your proud heart in this regard. Because the Lord abhors the proud. So let's keep the scriptural thin edge on which we have to walk, congregation. But let's remember that each of us in Adam has turned away from the fourth commandment. And we have made the worship of God into the worship of self. And you can do it in what we used to call an antinomian way. And you can also do it in a very liberal way. I do as I see fit. I see nothing wrong with this. Oh, our hearts are so deceitful in this regard also when it comes to the fourth commandment. You can sit in church and you can just sing it out and think you're worshiping the Lord. And in the meantime, you are worshiping the traditions of men and your own proud spirit. Oh, when God uncovers you to these things for a first time or afresh, it'll give an inward pain. It'll make you grieve that you have not been serving him as you should. And you who know anything of this, you will understand the language of the Apostle Paul when Paul at the end of Romans chapter 7 says, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And then you won't say, that's just the way it is, folks. But then it will grieve you and burden you and drive you out to the Savior, Jesus Christ, for pardon and for newness of life. And that brings us to our third point, the delight in the Sabbath. If you are here and your heart's desire is to live in thankfulness to God for so great a deliverance in Christ, then you will seek to delight in the Lord also with respect to the fourth commandment. And Isaiah 58, the verses 13 and 14, give us a secret that should encourage you and me. It goes like this, and I have already quoted them. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. Now there is a whole lot to be said about that, but allow me to limit it just to three somewhat brief points. First of all, the delight in the Sabbath begins with turning away from sin. That's where it begins. You turn away from sin. That's how the prophet puts it. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from doing thy pleasure. If thou turn away. And that verb turn there is the same word that the Old Testament uses for repentance. So for turning from sin. The turning of conversion of your heart and of your mind and of your will to God. That's where it begins. And if you do not begin there by confessing your sins with all your heart and turning to God, then you will forever be departing from the Sabbath as God designed it. And you and I need to turn from our own thoughts in this regard and imaginations. And we need to turn to God's thoughts and his pleasure in this regard. That's what it means. A refocusing, not the don'ts and the do's, but that we focus on God and on his Christ, on God alone. Remember, God designed the Sabbath to focus on him. And if we are ever to recapture that, it must begin with turning away from sin to God, the God whom we have left and dishonored. So that first of all. But secondly, the delight in the Sabbath comes with seeking the honor of God. That's what Isaiah the prophet says. He says, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him. Remember the Sabbath. That first Sabbath in the Garden of Eden. How all creation must have risen up in universal adoration of the great and good-doing Creator. What honor must have flowed from God's creation to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who had created all those things. But then think beyond just creation. Think now in terms of the fall, our fall in Adam. And then God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He became flesh, and he honored his Father. How he delighted in his Father. In John 8, verse 49, the Lord Jesus says, I honor my Father. And how true that was. I honor my Father from morning till night, on work days and Sabbath days. There was never a Sabbath day that Jesus used for not keeping it, for which God had designed it. He is even called the Lord of the Sabbath. And I may proclaim him to you, whoever you are. However much you have broken the Sabbath commandment. Here is Jesus in the gospel. And he's the great Sabbath keeper. And he's the sin bearer who bore the sins of his people in his body and soul. Also the sin against the fourth commandment. And he obtained his Spirit through whom he teaches his people to seek the honor of God. And on the Lord's day, he comes to us and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. and you shall find rest for your souls. So that's the second step towards keeping the Sabbath in a way that you delight in God and in the Sabbath. And then thirdly, the delight in the Sabbath comes from delighting yourself in the Lord. Think of those words. You can think of Psalm 37 that we will sing in a few moments, delight thyself also in the Lord, or Isaiah 58 where Isaiah says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. What does that mean? It means that you seek all your happiness, all your well-being, all your prosperity of soul and body in the Lord, the overflowing fountain of all good. Don't look for delight in the things of time and of sense, especially on the Sabbath. Seek it all in the Lord. There is no one like Him. There is nothing like Him. In Him is everything a poor sinner needs. And you will never be so fulfilled as when you bask in His glory, a Savior. Surety through whom you can see the Father, and it will suffice you. And that's the word of God for us this morning, congregation. The call is this: rest in the Lord with quiet trust. Don't labor for the meat that perishes. And the way to keep the Sabbath day holy is to do what? To look into the empty tomb and to see Him who was crucified, smitten for our sins, who bore our condemnation, who broke the bands of death and rose triumphant. The way to keep the Sabbath day holy, the way to keep the Lord's Day holy, is to look to Christ crucified and risen. And then go on in your delight and say with the Apostle Paul, with words such as Romans 6, if ye then be risen, that's Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is. Or Romans 6, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so should we also walk in newness of life. And so on the Lord's Day, will you not today meditate on the resurrection of Christ? And will you not say to yourself as you meditate, and that's the proof, the pledge of my own resurrection. Because I know I also cannot escape death. It'll come to me as it will come to you. But my death is no more certain than the resurrection from the dead for Christ's sake, which comes to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The day when mortality shall be swallowed up of life. And then you know, as you delight yourself in the Lord, that as you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, one day you will die in Christ, and in and by Christ be made alive. The risen Lord has, as it were, written on His girdle, I have the keys of hell and of death. And He says, because I live, you shall live also. That's it, congregation. Delight thyself, especially on the Lord's Day, in the Lord. And He will give thee the desires of your heart, which will focus on God. Well, congregation, if this does not lead you to love the Sabbath, nothing will. Love is the fulfillment of the law. And as we become children of God, then obedience to God's holy law, the law that brings liberty, that obedience will become your joy and your blessing. Only the beginning of it here, but in principle here. As some of you will have read, what I also have read is when missionaries go out and they preach the gospel and they see after some years a fruit on the preaching. One of the first things they teach is to observe the Sabbath day. On the seventh, not the seventh day, on the first day. One of the first things. And you will recall the diary of John G. Patton. And there you will see it, that people who were cannibals came on the Lord's Day to stop their daily work. And they kept the Sabbath day. And they knew this keeping is not bondage. They knew it. Christ brought us life. This is His day. We love His holy day. We love Him. Shouldn't that be your language and mine? Amen. Let us pray. O gracious Lord, we have known these things all through the years of our life. Our children have known these things. We have known these things. Our grandchildren are learning these very same things. And yet this morning it seemed as if we had to go back to base one and learn the simplicity of this fourth commandment. And to learn it through Thee being our teacher, Thy Word, Thy Spirit, and to learn to desire also the living in accordance with this commandment, out of Thee, Lord Jesus, out of thankfulness. O work it, we pray. Work it in the hearts of each of us, all of us, and again, and afresh. We pray it for those who were not here and were not keeping the Sabbath. And we pray it also for our brother, for whom we pray each day and each Lord's Day. The brother who left his wife and their child and who will not come back. Oh Lord, as we read in the Catechism, that especially on the Lord's Day, we may break with every sinful work and yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost and thus begin the eternal Sabbath. We pray it also for him, also for his wife, also for their child. Oh, turn him, yea, turn us, and to thee shall be all the glory, for Jesus' sake, in the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen.